Hallo, einen wunderschönen guten Abend. Es freut mich sehr, dass Sie so zahlreich erschienen sind, obwohl es ja jetzt schon einiges gab, was sehr interessant war und anspruchsvoll und ansprechend. Und herzlich willkommen zur ersten Vorführung des Filmprogramms, das die Gespräche und Diskussionen,
which is rounding off the various discussions and talks of these days. So it's a small roster of films, totaling seven films, and necessarily this means that it's sketchy and piecemeal. So it's definitely not complete, comprehensive. And we're going to focus on essayist and documentary work, on talking points here on the panel, and which are being discussed on these theme days in the various events, and so we want to obtain an in-depth view by using these films. It's wonderful to have quite a few filmmakers here in Berlin, a total number of four, and that they will be available for Q&A sessions after the screenings. Now, allow me to give you a general introduction into the film screening or program. It's going to take about 15 minutes and a brief introduction of the film which you're about to see, and then without much further ado we'll get going. So the seven films deal with their subject in a very heterogeneous way, sometimes in a wonderful hybrid wealth of material, such as in Marcel Opiul's Veillez d'Armes, the trouble we've seen. So basically it's shot in Sarajevo at the end of 1992-93, especially winter 1993. Marcel Opiul sets out for Sarajevo at the end of 1992, takes the night train, initially wanted to go to Vienna, then he traveled to Munich, and on he goes to Sarajevo in a rental car, first of all Zagreb, and once he gets to Sarajevo he sets up camp in the Holiday Inn Hotel. This is where lots of war correspondents were accommodated. So he speaks to these war correspondents, gets the lowdown on their work, what they do, nitty-gritty, and bit by bit he unearths vital elements concerning the work of war correspondents. The film lasts 4 hours, and he also unearths a very basic truth concerning the situation in former Yugoslavia. And last but not least, into these documentary material he then installs excerpts from feature films by Howard Hawks and by his father Max Ophüls. And it's wonderful to have Marcel Ophüls with us tomorrow, and he will be available for a Q&A session after the film. However, there are also other films where filmmakers have a larger distance to their subject, what they're about to narrate. This is, for instance, the case in Eyal Sivan's film, the photo film Rwanda, One Genocide Later, dealing with the genocide in Rwanda. However, when the film was aired, Sivan had never been to Rwanda himself. Sivan will be with us too, and he will talk about his film tomorrow. The same applies, distance-wise, to the Berlin director Philipp Scheffner, The Day of the Sparrow. So it takes a lot of time before he actually gets down to the crucial question, i.e., whether Germany is at war as long as Federal Armed Forces are deployed in Afghanistan. Now this begs a very important question, i.e., this distance or detached perspective, is there any insight which we can obtain from this as opposed to films which have a much more immediate access, like Rest Repo, which we're about to see. Apart from that, we have also a couple of films which are turning more in on themselves, such as Z-33 by the Israeli filmmaker Avi Mograbi, who puts the question,
ins Zentrum seines Films rückt, der
who focus on a former elite soldier who participated in the West Bank,
bei der zwei palästinensische Polizisten erschossen worden sind,
where two Palestinian
und der junge Mann beschreibt es selbst
shot.
Als Kriegsverbrechen, und Avi Mugabe weiß nicht so ganz genau, wie er damit umgehen soll,
war crime, and Avi doesn't know how to, Avi Mugabe doesn't know how to deal with it,
and he gives refuge in his film dem er eigentlich
to somebody, and he protects them with a digital mask to whom actually they don't, he doesn't want to give refuge.
Und er kommentiert es immer wieder, indem er selbst in die Kamera spricht und bisweilen auch
addressing
in die Kamera
the camera and occasionally also singing into the camera with an orchestra.
Ein anderer Film, Heidi's Bekonjas
Carte
Blanche,
Heidi's Bekonjas Carte
Blanche, richtet den Blick auf eine Kriegshandlung, die zum Zeitpunkt focusing des Drehs schon mehrere Jahre
action,
zurückliegt.
Which, when the film was shot, was already more or less relegated to the immediate
Einfall des kongolesischen Milizenführers Jean-Pierre Bemba, Jean-Pierre in die Zentralafrikanische Republik,
invaded the Central African Republic, Republic, the Congo militia leader in the years 2002 and 2003. Big question is,
fortwirkt, also die Gewalt,
which impact,
2002,
which knock-on effect does the violence which occurred in 2002-2003 still have to this present day? So the violence perpetrated against civilians, how do people remember it? How do they talk about it?
Nach wie vor prägt.
And in how far is this violence still present and shaping today's reality?
Welche unterschiedlichen Sprechweisen es gibt.
Gets one message across very clearly, i.e. you've got different voices, you've got the voices of the,
von Zeugen,
or the idiom of the
ganz,
victims, you've got the idiom or the voices of
der internationale Strafgerichtshof in Den Haag witnesses, such as versucht, war tribunal in The Hague
tries to instigate
a
law proceeding against Jean-Pierre
Bemba.
And this is also what this film deals with.
Was für eine Form von Anonymisierung nötig ist, damit diese Zeugen in den Film kommen können.
The kind of anonymity which is required in order to give a voice to these witnesses in the film. And it's also very intriguing to see that the prosecutors have a different voice to the victims,
Staatsanwälte,
to the public prosecutors.
Und es ist natürlich auch sehr interessant zu sehen, wie die Verwundbarkeit derjenigen, die die
and
Gewalt
it's also
haben,
interesting to see that the vulnerability of those who suffered the violence is not necessarily congruent with the legal proceedings in The Hague.
And die zivilen Opfer des Krieges geht,
here, Heidi's Bekonja looks very much at the civilian victims, whereas Romua Kamaka in Warheads deals with the perpetrators.
He
focuses on a German who used to be with a foreign legion for 20 years and
gerade von einer kroatischen Miliz sich hat anheuern lassen.
And he also focuses
noch sehr
on a
genau,
British mercenary who was hired by the Croatian militia at the beginning of the 1990s. I remember that I was deeply impressed when I first saw this film in 1993
und,
at the when it premiered in Germany as part of the Berlinale Film Festival. 1993, I was
sehr
very young
and
it was to do with the peace rallies. I was influenced
Menschen,
by the peace rallies of the 1980s in Germany, etc. And I was just surprised to see that what I would see as perpetrators were given a voice and that it was not fettered by moral categorization or reports. And what I found very interesting was, I mean, for me back then, as a young girl, it was an eye-opener concerning film, concerning movies, feature films, that they could be an eye-opener, words of which I didn't know, I was ignorant, perhaps blissfully ignorant, which are completely incongruent with my own outlook on life. I thought it was a very strong film, I now saw it again, and I was still deeply impressed, and that's wonderful.
An dieser Stelle möchte ich nun zu dem Film kommen, den Sie sehen
Romua
werden,
Kamaka
Rest Repo.
With us, to discuss this film. And now let me talk about Rest Repo.
Soldaten,
the film which you're about to say, it takes its name from a foreign US soldier
im Osten von
who used to be deployed in the Korengal-Tal in the East Afghanistan,
im Juli 2007
highly contested valley,
ums Leben.
And he lost his life on the 22nd of July 2007, he was killed in action. All the other servicemen of his unit set up an outpost briefly afterwards, and they called it or gave him, gave this, heal this outpost, the name of their fallen comrade. And the film Rest Repo kind of covers this unit over a period of 15 months, ever since they arrived in Afghanistan in May 2007 up until their departure in July 2008. There are also a couple of interview sequences which were shot retro or afterwards ex post, talking heads in front of a neutral backdrop, respectively in a close-up. And the two filmmakers, the British photojournalist Tim Hetherington and the American author Sebastian Younger, went to the Korengal Valley on behalf of Vanity Fair. They were so-called embedded journalists. And this is really palpable throughout the film because there is virtually no external perspective. We are also always in the shoes of the US American soldiers. And this has a certain advantage that we're experiencing their specific situation, their machismo, their fears, their, also their boredom,
and
the way in which they kind of let it out, it becomes very, very clear to us. And we have very wobbly, shaky, hasty images, camera panning, shots,
the lens
is blurry with dust, you need to focus, and it takes some time until you actually know what you're looking at.
Manchmal hat auch die Linse noch so Staub und Wasserflecken.
You get specks of dust
sozusagen dieser
on
Eindruck
the film material,
von,
etc. So that kind of gives a rough and ready feeling to it. So that's the advantage. But the downside is that the film remains virtually silent on the Afghan side. Sebastian Junger puts it
It is a completely apolitical film. We wanted to give viewers the experience of being in combat with soldiers, and so our cameras never leave their side. There are no interviews with generals. There's no moral or political analysis. It is a purely experiential film. Ich möchte nicht schließen, ohne darauf hinzuweisen, dass einer der beiden Filmemacher, Tim Hetherington, im April 2011 in der
forget to mention that one of those two filmmakers, Tim Hetherington, lost his life in April 2011 in the Libyan city of Misrata, when he did his work on the Tripoli Highway at the front line between Gaddafi followers and the rebels. Back then he was 40 years of age. Now I hope you enjoy the screening. I look forward to meeting you again.